Welcome to the next episode of the Phoenix Rising podcast. With me, I have Dennis, Jennifer, and Ami. Today, we're going to talk about a party icon turned activist, a homemaker mogul who refused to fall quietly, and then a local respected doctor who turned even a perfect image into unable to protect the truth. So let's start off by talking about Martha Stewart.
My queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jen. Tell us about Martha Stewart.
So in 2001, she was invested. She had over 3,000 shares in a company called ImClone. Not sure how it's pronounced. It was a medical company. Her broker got a tip. Sam Wassel, I believe his name was the president of ImClone, that he was selling his shares because he heard that the FDA was not going to approve their cancer drug.
Okay.
Tip was passed on to Martha. She sold. Not quite sure what precipitated the initial
investigation.
Probably because it was a timely thing. But it turned out where she was investigated, her broker was investigated. The broker said that they had a stop deal where if it got below 60, he would just sell it for. But the actual written contracts, it's written different blue ink. Doesn't match.
So now they're just lying and kind of trying to cover it up.
It didn't help. She called Sam Wassel. Like I said, I'm not sure if I'm saying his last name correct, the president of ImClone as well, the night before.
Okay.
Sam, Martha Stewart.
Okay.
You know, call me back.
Yeah.
If she would have been more discreet or her broker would have been more discreet, maybe nothing would have happened because this stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, maybe she just didn't know.
Yeah, this stuff happens all the time with our members of Congress. They're buying stock on the down low, but, you know. So they did an investigation. They did not actually charge her with insider trading.
Yep, I knew that.
There were 9 counts: securities fraud, making false statements, obstruction of justice. Her broker, Peter Bakanovich, was charged as well. What a lot of people don't know is the SEC also filed a civil suit against her.
Okay.
She went to trial, was convicted of 4 counts. The interesting thing is they made a big deal about her lying by going out in the public and saying she was innocent. They tried to spin that and spin it into the charges and say that her lying was to protect her own stock. So,
smart.
Yeah. So, but there's a lot of controversy saying, you know, people went after her because she was the first self-made female billionaire.
Well, I don't think she was a billionaire. She wasn't worth $1 billion until after, honestly. Is that she propelled after she got out.
So it was like a red flag.
Yeah. She may have had $1 billion, but she wasn't valued at over $1 billion.
Yeah, because all my research said that she was the first self-made.
Yeah.
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 I know she went public. Martha Stewart, Living Omnimedia, went public in 1999, and that made her a lot of money because she held 60% of the shares for that.
Who knows if that was legit or not.
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis, do you need to answer your phone?
It's the DA, but I can wait.
Okay.
But so she wound up being found guilty of 4 of the counts.
Okay.
Same with her broker. She served 5 months in jail, got 5 months home confinement, 2 years probation.
Okay. She ever get in trouble on probation?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. Do you think she should have went to jail?
She did. They set an example out of her.
Well, she also, against her attorney's advice, she went to jail early, too. She started a sentence early because she was of the mindset that the public wanted accountability, not any delays in legal, whatever you attorneys do.
Maneuvering.
The maneuvering.
The appeal process.
Yeah. So she actually went to jail earlier against her legal counsel.
So she did get in trouble in She did get sent to solitary and confinement. Confinement and jail. That recently came out. She had a Netflix special recently. Yeah. Apparently, she walked by two guards and just brushed up against one. This is her, you know, telling the story.
Yeah.
And they put her down in solitary. She's like, no food, no drink. I think her quote was, they called it Camp Cupcake, but how much of, you know, camp is that?
Yeah.
So.
Martha Stewart.
Do you think her conduct was criminal?
For sure it was. Did she benefit off of it?
Yeah,
she benefited because I actually have it. She avoided a $45,000 loss by selling it before that deal went through. So, she wound up making $51,000.
Well, the way I guess I'm asking is, so you think it's criminal, but you don't think she should have went to jail?
I think they set an example out of her. I think there's a lot of people who have done the same.
They just haven't been caught.
Or investigated.
There's the difference.
Or investigated.
That's the difference, right? Is that they haven't left, they didn't leave the breadcrumbs.
Compared to what she was facing, she got off pretty lightly.
For sure she did. And at the end of the day, if you look at it from a marketing move, it was brilliant. Like, Martha Stewart was this homemaker crowd that, frankly, we would not be talking about today.
Yeah.
She's hanging out with Snoop Dogg.
She's the oldest woman to be in Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. And I would like the number of her plastic surgeon. She's 83. Have you seen her?
She's 83.
Lately?
She's
83.
Amazing.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
Her first year out of jail, she published a book and had started two TV shows.
Her nickname in prison was M. Diddy.
That has a whole new meaning to it now.
Right? So literally, you're talking about, you know, she went to prison. Yes, that sucks. All of that. She lost she could have lost $51,000 in this, whatever, by doing this. But look at what it gained her.
Exactly.
Like crazy good.
Full on rebrand, and now she gets to go down a different avenue. And if you think about it, do we think her career was going up or was it?
It was kind of stagnant.
Yeah.
I think one of the cool things, though, in one of her post interviews with Katie Couric, she said her success post release was because she didn't let jail define her.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what that means, but
her story didn't end there.
Yeah.
She rebuilt herself.
She rebuilt her brand. You know, people. Talk about
Hang
it,
out
but
with
like
Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg, gay dog.
I love Snoop on the Olympics. I hope they bring him back.
Oh man, they had Martha on the Olympics too.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, none of that would have happened.
The best chemistry ever.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
It is true because without one of them, you don't get the other.
Yeah. No, I don't know if that's true.
Do you think he gets involved in it if she's not dragging him
along? She kind of cleaned up his image a little.
You know what's so funny you say that? I was thinking something very similar to that. Snoop Dogg, over his trajectory of his career, has really defined himself. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Went from the rapper, smoking all the weed. He might still be smoking all the weed.
I mean, he's still doing that.
But how he went from, you know, like a young rapper, East Coast, West Coast rivalry,
to
now being on the NBC Olympics and doing coverage.
Yeah. I mean, they both really did.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Anything else about Martha? She's 83.
83.
I can't believe it.
Holy
And
Christ.
she looks
fantastic on like the cover
Pull
for Netflix.
Pull up a picture.
Oh, on we can use our phones. Photo, like, of the video, like it looks, she looks awesome.
Yeah.
Martha
her face, like I said,
Stewart today. This is where we enter. Holy shit. Yeah, she looks fantastic.
This is what she looks like. The other picture. That picture is what she looks like.
Would you do an 83-year-old?
Oh my gosh.
Martha's five secrets to good health at 83. I don't want to read them, but we will put up a picture of Martha Stewart at the age of 83.
But yeah,
and you can swipe left or right.
The only thing I think I would add or close on is, again, obviously her conduct, like we said, was criminal. Yeah. We don't know if she should have went to jail or not. But the fact is, CBS took her right back anyway, right after she got out.
For sure.
She never lost her job or anything where, you know, maybe in today's culture, things would be different, but clearly, she was a star for them.
Well, culture is a little different.
So, as part of that,
so let me Yeah, go
as
ahead.
As part of that SEC suit, she settled it. She had to pay fines of $195,000, but she couldn't be CEO of any company, public company, for 5 years. So they just named her chief creative officer. Yeah. But she did the same job.
It's just a workaround.
Yep.
No, Dennis, you can't be a CRO. question. If she is a man...
If it was a man,
yes. Do you think that it's a different outcome?
As equally famous?
Equally famous.
I gotta go back to my youth here and think about the early 2000s. I don't know. I don't think so.
You think they were trying to make an example of Martha?
Yes.
Okay. I think I would agree with you.
But you know who benefited from that? Little Kim. Little Kim?
Yeah.
When she was in jail, on trial, because she lied, basically different situation of her lying. She was protecting people that she was friends with and her entourage that shot people. The judge sat and did a two-hour tirade from the bench and gave her less of a sentence because it wouldn't be fair to give a white, wealthy woman less of a sentence and not her less of a sentence. It's interesting.
So I bet your race was probably more of a factor than gender in that situation.
Yeah.
Interesting. Danny, what's your take? I'm just kidding. cool. All right. Let's move on to talk about Paris Hilton. What do you got, Amy?
Oh, I have so much stuff.
So do I.
This actually came at like the perfect time because I was in the middle of reading her memoir. I've had it in my to-be-read for, I don't know, probably a year, and I just hadn't really gotten to it. So everyone knows Paris Hilton. We know she's famous for literally being famous until her DUI arrest made her the face of privilege on trial. So, but behind glamour and scandal, her time in jail became a turning point. Years later, she used her platform to expose abuse in youth facilities and reclaim her narrative as a survivor and not a spectacle. So I kind of went through, she goes through it in her book, exactly how it all goes through and happens.
Time out.
Okay.
Dennis is like, we're talking about the wrong Paris Hilton case, guys. He did my research. And
he did the wrong research.
He did the wrong research.
I thought we were talking about the sex case.
No.
I thought we were talking about the sex case scandal.
Nope.
Danny, let's talk about that one.
we're not prepared to talk about that. Oh, but that's the research that Dennis did. All right. So, Amy, let's talk about... Dennis.
You're crying.
Do you think that... Okay, I got a couple questions since we're there. We'll go back to Amy.
Yeah.
Do you think that it was intentional or unintentional, the tape being released?
Oh, intentional.
I don't think hers was intentional. Kim Kardashian, I think, was 100% intentional. Mm-hmm. I think she was a victim in that point.
Oh, interesting. So you think it was a leak?
I think she was manipulated.
Well, let's take a step back. Was it unintentional for Paris Hilton? Yes.
Yes.
Was it intentional on the guy's part. And
correct.
She calls him right out in her memoir. She calls it all out that she was she dated people.
Rick. Was his name Rick?
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know.
I can see his face. I can't remember his name. But literally, she says that she fell in with the wrong crowd because of all the trauma that she went through in her childhood. And it's so funny because, you know, she has ADHD. I have it too. She actually starts her book off and goes, listen, this is going to be a wild ride because I'm going to start at the very beginning and I'm going to take you all the way through it. And she does. And she, you know, branches off into other areas and explains how everything kind of all ties together. She literally had one drink after hanging out with cast and crew for a shoot. She had one drink. She never ate all day. She was busy the entire day. And then they had a margarita at the end to toast that they were done. She got in her car. She's like, I hadn't slept because of all of her.
Are we talking about the DUI?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about something.
I was like, can we go back?
I didn't know where we went. Again, we're going on a ride with Amy here, folks.
I circled it all in.
Okay.
So she goes, she has this toast. She hasn't slept. She doesn't sleep at night because of all of her past traumas. They wake her up. She gets in her car and she gets pulled over for speeding.
Okay. Common way to get pulled over.
Yep. She, again, hadn't eaten anything. She was actually pulling over to go to In-N-Out to get something to eat. And she's like, hindsight, that probably would have solved my issue. But she gets pulled over. She blows a .08 and she goes to jail. She gets her publicist to pull her out of jail. And he tells her, like, the right thing to do in these types of situations is to just face up to it and own it, like, do the right thing. So he's like, I don't want you staying at a friend's house. She goes home. There's literally video footage of her pulling into her house, like, she, totally sober, like, nothing, like, she hadn't had a wild night out. And she just goes in, walks in totally sober.
Okay.
So it's one drink.
Mm-hmm.
Who hasn't figured that they were fine to drive after one drink?
Yep. Not one drink, hours later, gets pulled over speeding, .08.
But was she
goes to jail?
Was she on her ADD medicine at that time? Because I know she used to take Adderall.
So I'd have to go back up and look at the dates because that does affect it too.
Yeah.
When did this happen to Paris? I don't even remember.
2006.
Okay.
Yeah, 2006.
It's clearly she didn't have a good lawyer because if she blew .08.
You want to hear the worst part about the lawyer? She hired a lawyer who doesn't handle DWI law.
Well, that's not very uncommon for
celebrities.
Right?
So she hires this attorney. She goes through everything. She gets 3 years probation, $1,500 fine, 4 months of suspension, and alcohol education classes.
For a .08?
For a .08. Fine. She's a celebrity that has a huge following of young, impressionable girls. Okay, fine. They give her that. So she hires the attorney that has never handled the DWI before. He didn't have the correct paperwork filed. The attorney tells the publicist that she's good to go. She could drive again. She gets pulled over again for speeding and not having her lights on. They go in front of a judge. He was retiring in a few days. He sentenced her to 45 days in jail.
Bullshit.
Everybody went to court on her behalf and said it wasn't her fault. She wasn't driving because she knew she didn't have her driver's license or anything like that. They said they didn't care. They put her in jail.
Go back. Remind me, she got caught driving and she didn't have technically have her license because the lawyer messed up.
Yeah.
Did she grieve the lawyer?
I don't know.
She should have.
Maybe
that's malpractice.
Maybe she needs to hire Dennis.
But why didn't she have her license? And why was it the attorney's fault?
She didn't have the license because they had given her a 4 month suspension. So it was technically
not the lawyer's fault.
Technically, it was 30 days that she wasn't allowed to drive, and then she could have a conditional after that for the remaining three months.
But the attorney was supposed to file for the conditional?
Yep, and he filed the wrong paperwork for the conditional.
Oh.
So she just assumed.
So she was told by her publicist, who was told by the attorney, that she was good to go, when in reality she wasn't really good to go because he had filed the wrong paperwork. The attorney said that in court. Judge didn't care.
Yeah, that something doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I would have to look into that more.
Yeah, let's appeal this for her. go get licensed in L.A., California, and we're going to appeal this for her.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't recall back in 06, was this really big news?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They watched her go and turn herself into jail. Like, there's so much video footage, like, of her walking. It's almost like a red carpet event with how many photographers.
And I think
TMZ loved it.
And again, a lot of it was because, like Amy started off, was she was famous for being famous, right? So she was just the party girl that was always going out, that always had the boyfriend. She had the sex that she looked her. So her last name's Hilton. She comes from, you know, her father, you know, is a multi-billionaire. So it came with a lot of hatred because they felt like that she was just this entitled kid going out doing whatever the hell they wanted. So
when in reality,
they didn't know the whole story. They didn't know, you know, about the school that she went to where they had all of the issues and her history and all of that stuff. But they did let her out early.
She did get out early. They actually threw her back in jail and put her in solitary. for the remainder of her stay.
Well, that was probably for her own protection.
Yeah, they said the guards actually said that it wasn't a good idea to put her back in with everybody else.
Do you know why they let her out early, though?
Because of her PTSD and her anxiety.
It was for her medical conditions, which they never really established if it was the her ADHD, her anxiety, mental breakdown, whatever. But that poses me a question to you guys, is that we all have our things, right? Does that resolve accountability from there, right? Does that resolve that, you know, again, I don't want to say that she should have went to jail, because frankly, I don't believe that she should have gone to jail.
Right.
But if you're out there and you're having some drinks and getting behind the wheel and doing all of that, it doesn't matter who you are. There should be accountability to those actions, right? And if you've got medical things and you've got a history, you grew up with the things that you grew up with, there becomes things that you have to be accountable for, right? Mm-hmm. And taking care of your own self, right? But the thing is, what people don't understand is that it's easy to say, oh my God, you went through all this trauma, just figure your shit out, right? It's easy to say that, right? Until you deal with your own shit and you don't realize you do it, right?
Yeah.
But it's another thing when I don't think people understand in the Paris Hilton case, the situation is that you've got a spotlight on you, right? And if you're a young female that is the daughter of a billionaire coming out and saying, I dealt with all of this abuse at this Provo Canyon school, what's the ramifications of that going to be, right? So what people do and what happens and what creates addiction is people keeping it. And I'm not saying that Paris Hilton's an addict whatsoever, but all of her behavior shows that of that, right? Is you keep it in, you keep it in, you keep it in, and it manifests in other behavior, right? Like Amy said, she's going out there, she's going partying, and she had access to things that we probably would have all done the same thing. I know Jen would have.
I mean, I think the most interesting part, though, like while I was reading her book, is that she's like, I'm such a shy person. And she's like, the only reason I went out and I did all of these things was because my parents were so overly protective. She's like, you almost kind of have to rebel. She's like, we couldn't wear makeup. We couldn't go out. We couldn't do anything. So she's like, yeah, I didn't do any of those things for years because it was literally not allowed. Then I wanted to go out and enjoy being a teenager, essentially. And her parents were literally locking her in her room. And she's like, yeah, I found a way out. And of course I went and I did those things. Like, that's what you do. And of course, that's what they really clamped down
on. Bullshit. But it's not, but there still needs to be accountability for it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it is what you did. But there still needs to be accountability, right, Jenny?
Yeah.
You don't.
Are we going to talk about?
You don't steal a boy's car.
That was my parents'
your
car.
Your parents' car to go see a boy.
Yeah.
Just to piggyback off this, though, Kelsey, and I think that this is where at least my mind goes. You're talking about accountability. I agree with accountability. If your actions,
yep.
We all have our things.
Yep.
And I think, though, the issue I have is that sometimes I don't think the jails take those things into account.
100%.
So, like, if they had,
or the judges, or the public, all of that. Yes,
but I guess that's the point I'm making. So she was released because of her PTSD anxiety. But if they actually had good treatment providers in the jails that could help her manage that and work her through maybe some therapy and providing better services for mental and addiction services in the jail, then we might not be in that situation where she's getting
and
released.
Well, she might not have had to have waited so long to come out about all of that abuse because she would have dealt with it in jail.
Well, the truth is that let's take even a step back.
Okay.
If there was access to it beforehand, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
100%.
We wouldn't even know who Paris Hilton was.
But I, even though, well, I
we
agree
would,
with that.
But for good reasons.
Well, while I agree with you, sometimes it takes something bad to happen to people for them to realize, I need this.
Dennis, I get it. But how many bad things have to happen?
Yeah.
And I know that you guys will agree with me. How many people have to die from addiction until you figure out a game plan to make it more easily accessible? How many people have we known as clients that are ready to get clean? They can't get the beds. So they relapse and they take the same amount of drugs that they used to take, but they can't take anymore and they overdose.
Right.
That's a problem for me. When somebody's come on out there and saying, I'm ready to get help, they should be able to get help.
Yep. Well, this is, you know, it's funny. One of my things I discussed with Danny last week when we were doing some work for our marketing, we were talking about Veterans Court. And mm-hmm. for that exact reason, it's a year-long program. These vets who really have never been in the system before get hooked up with all of the different types of classes, teaching, housing, lawyers, all the different resources that they can get through vet court and through the VA that they never get.
Yeah.
But this process makes them go through it and meet all of these people so that way they know where they can get the resources. And you're right, people, it's easy. Oh, I need mental health, call up a mental health person. But, you know, people sometimes don't know where to look for the resources.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
Or they can't afford it.
I mean, look at all the helplines and things like that that are out there. There's such a stigma around mental health to begin with. It's hard asking for help.
Well, I think there's a stigma around addiction, and we can talk about this for hours.
Yeah.
I remember when I first got together with my wife, she used the word junkie, and I was like, let's roll that back a little bit, and had a very heart-to-heart conversation with her about what people kind of go through, which create them to go there. And we're in downtown Syracuse, where we have a lot of people that have addiction problems. I treat them the same as I treat anybody else.
At the end of the day, there's
same.
A person
for
in there.
Sure, there is, for
I
sure
think,
there is.
I think something that's really awesome that's going around on like social media now, there's a lot of addiction videos of people who are out there helping homeless people. And there are people in the comments who are just like, that's someone's son, that's someone's daughter,
yeah.
that's someone's brother. Like
yeah.
you have no idea what they've gone through in their life that has led them down this path.
It's funny you say that about junkie. It was never a term I ever really used. But the other word, talking about mental health, when I was younger, I used to use the word retarded.
Mm.
I don't use that at all anymore.
Mm.
For the same reason,
I correct people all the time. Yeah,
same reason, because again, I think it's just not an appropriate word to be using, especially when talking about mental health these days.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So. Cool. The only other question I have for you, Amy, your thoughts. Paris Hilton, this was big news.
Yeah.
Since 2006, I remember seeing Justin Timberlake, last year or 2 years ago? And I only remember meeting one or two articles about him. I don't think the media really made a big, big show of him, even though he's a huge star. Yeah. Obviously, Tiger Woods has had a couple in the last few years, some of which the big issue was in 2010 with his, I think, ex-wife.
Yeah.
And then he picked up on AI drugs, and we all watched that video. But I don't think they made as big of deals about these ones more than in 2006. Do you think it's because we become more accustomed to seeing people getting arrested for DWIs that's famous? Or because Paris Hilton, young female, Tiger Woods, and Justin Timberlake, male, do you think that played into this too?
I think it's both. So I think she had such a big following being that party girl that if we don't go heavy on her, will she go and do this again? Will she, with a public spotlight on her, will she get other people to go out and do this?
So again, looking at her as the party girl, kind of like Lindsay Lohan, looking at her as the party girl and the way they treated her too.
Yeah, here's the thing. I also think it comes down to likability. I think that people didn't like Paris.
They didn't.
And that's what creates the noise. Like, we know that.
People like her now because the media used to tell her story. She has since taken it back, and she has written her story.
Frankly, I have not heard from her in a while.
Oh, she had a
anything.
Whole show.
She's got a podcast. Yeah. She's getting ready
to watch
a new TV show. But she's written two books. Like, she took control of her narrative, and I really liked her publicist telling her, don't run away from these things. That's when they shine a bigger light on them. Instead, just own up to it. Tell the truth. Own what you've got going on and write your own story from here on out. And I really think that that's what she's done.
Sean, do you really think people like Tiger Woods?
Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
Why you don't?
And I think the story was really good with him as to why that stayed in the news for so long.
The 2000s.
She's married?
Yeah, she's married. Yeah,
she's 44. She's old.
She's got, what, two children
she's
now?
She's got two kids now.
Carter Rectum? Or Reem? He is goofy.
He is. And she said
he is goofy.
She said she finally, when she started going to therapy and doing all of those things, she said, why do I keep dating all these assholes? They never work out for me. She dated a guy that actually treats her like she's supposed to be treated.
I mean,
good for her.
You should, based on the way he looks. No offense, all due respect. I'm going to read a book. I love it.
It was really good.
I'm going to click on movies and, oh, God.
Yep. Nope.
Scroll over in there.
And
Roy Eron movie.
Dennis Eron.
who was her when she had the TV show?
Nicole
I think
Ritchie.
In 06. It was Nicole Richie.
Thank you. That also did not help her either.
No, probably no, not because no, no, it was right around the same time.
Because she came across as entitled.
Oh my God, an entitled
but
idiot.
But that was literally what that show was written for. Yeah, yeah. And she's like, we had fun doing it. It was fun.
I love a good comeback story. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. What was the show called?
The Simple Life.
Oh, The Simple Life. That's right.
It was
I was thinking for rich or for poor.
Well, they were like wearing overalls and holding pitchforks on the...
That's why I was thinking for rich or for poor, the Tim Allen movie with Christine.
She's got like a YouTube video out that's almost like 2 hours long. And in there they go, I noticed in, you know, whatever you were talking about that... In The Simple Life, that you said you didn't know how to use a mop. That's not true. You know, we use mops all the time at Provo. And she's like, I know. That's how you can tell that, like, it was we were being truthful and like that we were just playing along. Like, that's what we had to do.
All right. Next case, Dennis.
That's all we have for today, folks.
We're going to talk about a local case, Dr. Robert Newlander.
Who's that?
Go ahead.
So the Dr. Newlander case, obviously.
Cases, correct.
Very famous locally. Obviously made the national news a few times, 48 hours. I think it was on 60 Minutes as well. A lot of the national market had picked it up. Crazy story. Obviously a very long story. It went over for really years.
Yeah.
Started, I believe, in 2012.
Yeah.
When Dr. Newlander's wife died, was murdered in her home. Nobody really investigated it for a few months. And then they really opened up the door and went back to look into it. The person that basically tipped off the DA was one of Leslie's good friends and neighbors, who also happened to be the former ME for the county.
Medical examiner
for the county. And she talked to the DA, Bill Fitzpatrick, and said, this just isn't sitting right with me based on the what we've heard in the community recently, that their relationship was on the fritz. Fitz said he had heard the same things, and Fitz sent her the file. She looked over the file and said, there's no way this was just a slip and fall in a shower, that there had to be blunt force. Mm-hmm. And that's when they opened up the investigation.
Yep. Three months later,
yep. Eventually they bring Robert Newlander in to meet with Bill Fitzpatrick. They interview him. Ed Mankin, his defense attorney, was there at the time. They do a long interview.
Local attorney.
They said one of the best at the time, one of the best local attorneys. They interviewed him. And Fitz, I think, again, anything you can get, a little bit of here, a little bit of there, and you start really looking at some of the inconsistencies. I mean, the biggest inconsistency that I think I saw when I was looking at all the articles and the news coverage of this is, you're a doctor. I understand he was an OBGYN. A lot of babies in this town were born from him.
Yeah, for sure.
Were born because of him. But even though you're an OB, you have to have some common sense as a doctor, right? If you have a slip to fall in the shower and she's still breathing, why are you dragging her body back into the bedroom?
Why are you not calling 911? Why are you not doing CPR? Why are you not doing life-saving measure?
And in the bathroom where she allegedly slipped to fall, especially if you were worried about her having a blunt force, injury to the head.
Yeah.
Well, again, when you move your head, I wonder if there was a neck injury. She broke her neck and you're dragging the body.
Yeah.
It doesn't sit well.
Yep.
And then obviously, you know, when they reopened up the investigation, I don't know how he didn't have maybe a better cleaning lady, but they found blood spattered on like the headboard and on the blinds.
Yeah.
So clearly showing that there were so many inconsistencies with this story. Obviously, he went to trial.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a few week trial. The first one, Ed Mankin against the DA Fitzpatrick, loses.
Yep. Guilty.
Guilty. Guilty.
Guilty.
Okay. Immediately thereafter, there was an appeal. Or not an appeal. Let me go back. Immediately after, we believe that there was some type of jury misconduct to the defense team.
We don't believe. There was.
There was. apparently, one of the jurors was receiving text messages from, like, her father saying, like, make sure you find him guilty, all of this other things.
It was even more than that, too, though. It was, she was doing her own research, all Correct. Of these other things too, which is you're not your job. Like, okay, as a criminal defense lawyer, tell them, communicate what the job of the jury is.
The job of the jury.
Other than don't communicate with outside sources.
Or really talk amongst yourselves until you're ready to deliberate.
Yeah.
Right. So it kind of like when we discussed OJ a few months back, same idea, right? Yeah. You're supposed to be sequestered. Yep. You're not supposed to be looking at your phone. You're not supposed to watch any articles or read any articles, watch TV stories about the case you're looking at, not driving by the house or where.
Not doing your own research.
Correct. None of it.
It's got to be based on the evidence. That you have, right?
Correct.
It would be hard, right?
Yeah, that's so hard, especially in today's age.
For sure it is.
Well, the other thing that really got me, and again, I'm saying that this was probably a good thing that they found it, so that way he would get a fair trial.
For sure.
But again, I mean, if you're that juror and you were looking something up, wouldn't you like go into incognito mode or somewhere where they wouldn't look at your phone and find all this stuff?
Yeah. Not everybody is a shyster.
Yeah. I guess that's true. But again,
or think they're going to get caught.
Right. Yeah. And then
if you think you're going to get caught, of course you would do that.
But yeah, they called her in. She also, I think, voluntarily turned over phone. They found everything that she was doing.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So, but Judge Miller at the time.
It's kind of like what we said about Karen Reed last month, where the cop was saying all kinds of stuff about Karen Reed.
Correct.
Right? Like, what are people doing?
So, but Judge Miller still went forward with sentencing, saying that he didn't believe that was prejudicial enough. So he was sentenced to 20 to life.
So question. Yes. So guilty verdict. They find this information and the judge still moves forward with sentencing.
Yes.
Okay.
He didn't believe it to be prejudicial enough to overturn the conviction.
What is the threshold? Or is that really at the judge's discretion? Because
there is a standard, but I believe it would have to be I'm not sure the exact verbiage of the standard, but it's got to be probably more prejudicial in order to overturn it. But they did overturn it.
Yep.
Right. So
they overturned it in the appellate process.
Correct. Right? And he obviously gets appealed,
which takes a while. Yeah. Which is kind of, if you think about it from a defense criminal standpoint, is there's this misconduct. Now you're sentenced. Now you got to wait years to find out what's going on.
Correct.
That's crazy.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
In
so
jail.
This started 2012. It was when Leslie died. Then you're talking, I don't even remember when the first trial was, 14, 15.
Yeah.
They have the trial.
It was 10 years later.
Correct. Correct. Almost 10 years later.
Yeah.
The second trial. So again, this obviously gets overturned on appeal, saying juror misconduct. So he gets a new trial, gets out, is back out living the good life.
Yeah.
Right. But then again, now he needs to figure out.
He got a new lawyer, not the same lawyer. He got a lawyer in New York City this time.
Correct. Yep. I think it was the wife of his appellate attorney. There was some connection between the two.
Oh, did not know that.
And obviously, then you're ramping up to go to trial again.
Yeah.
Right? And you got to relive this whole thing. And now from the state's perspective, you're thinking, this is kind of expensive, right? Because Fitz, in order to try this case, it was like a 4 or 5 week trial. He has to fly in all these experts, fly in all the DNA experts, all the people that could talk about different blood splattering, all of those different things.
And think about the emotional toll. Like, I've seen him in trial, and he is one of the best trial lawyers I've ever seen. He is so good.
Correct. He's killer.
Yeah.
Absolutely great. And you're right. And then you're also talking this guy's already almost, I think, 70 or close to 70. You're like, we really waste all these government resources?
It's accountability. We talked about that earlier.
Exactly. And again, it's not
accountability where it involved death, not just because somebody was a point away.
And again, it's not even really, I said a waste of resources, but it's really not necessarily a waste if you're just looking at dollars and cents. But again, it's about justice.
Yep.
And obviously he tried the case again, found guilty a second time.
Yep.
No issues this time, 20 to life. And obviously he's sitting there now.
Crazy thing is, I was doing some research on this, and in the second trial, part of the thing that was the new evidence that helped was the matter on the headboard from there, right? Like, how is that, again, 10 years later?
Yeah, how is that not the main point?
How is that not involved in the first trial, but it is in the second trial 10 years later?
Do you think the technology changed
that
allowed it to, where it wasn't as specific back 10 years ago when technology was advanced that much?
Let's open that door. what about all of these people that have been convicted of crimes? Yeah. And by the way, here's this evidence that could prove a different situation 10 years later.
I follow an attorney. He does the Innocence Project. He like every couple of weeks, he's getting somebody out. And yeah. he's like, they told them during trial that this guy was not there. And they just continued going with it. And they found him guilty. And it's like,
it's just like, how do you observe, how do you save that evidence for 10 years?
So that was never brought up.
Is there a statute for how long they have to save evidence?
I mean, I think you could save it indefinitely. I mean, I can think of a few cases. One, to Sean's point, that was a local case that I believe DNA evidence exonerated this individual. It was another firm in the area that did the appeal. Fitz agreed and let him out because they knew at that point that he was innocent. So it does happen because you're saying new evidence. But on the flip side, I also remember a case that Fitz indicted. He indicted the DNA back in like 2000 or like 2000 because he was worried that it was.
You didn't answer your phone, Dennis?
Well, don't remember who that is. Fitz indicted a matter where he just indicted
Newlander.
DNA.
Newlander's like, hey, you guys are dogging me.
Yeah, so he indicted evidence in like 2000 because he couldn't find who it was. And then eventually the DNA came out because it was like a match later, 24 years later, and then they got the guy. But because he was running out on statute of limitations, he had to indict it then.
Oh,
that
really?
Crazy, crazy story. But that's a problem.
That's really smart.
That is.
I know.
That's really, he's really smart.
But do you want to talk about the second trial? You know what also baffles me? You're the defense and the prosecution, right? Mm-hmm. Prosecution doesn't want to call Jenna Newlander, the daughter, the only eyewitness.
Yep.
Defense doesn't call her in the second trial.
Why?
Because they thought...
I'm a juror member, that is probably going to be the nail.
Didn't she stick up for her dad?
For sure. She stood by her dad, correct. Yeah. But Fitz was probably going to, I was thinking, I forget who called her in the first trial, if it was Fitz or Ed Mankin. But in the second trial, they didn't call her at all. She's the only eyewitness.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. That's because you don't know what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. If you're not bringing somebody up on the stand to take testimony, you don't know what they're going to say, and it's too risky.
Something, correct.
Yeah, that's crazy. But the daughter's the one who made the 911 call. Correct. I don't know if you've ever heard the 911 call. It's heart-wrenching.
Mm. I agree.
And it's got to be awful for her and for – she had a brother, or was it just Jenna?
She had one brother, and then I believe she had two half-siblings.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, it's also crazy to me, without a confession, right?
And no murder weapon.
Without a murder weapon.
And no motive.
And no motive. Right.
But you said their relationship was on
the rocks, but I don't think that was enough for motive, to be honest. Just to say they were
and at the same time, you have 3 months with no investigation. And if you're Newlander, why the hell are you not cleaning better?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yes, indeed.
It's cool. Listen, if you know of any cases that you want us to talk about and break down, let us know. But that is this month's episode of the Phoenix Rising podcast. Tune in next month. We have some really great, big, huge, huge, huge news. All right. Until next time, we're out.